Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
So the word today I'm going to give you is a message called A Place Called Forward. Say, A Place Called Forward. And I've shared this teaching before in different ways. And in fact, last night, the Lord just spoke to me and said, go forward. And I began thinking about that, looking at my notes. I got lots of notes. And I found a manuscript that I forgot I had. I began to write a book or a booklet on this topic. And I found that from several years ago. And so I'm going to bring that today, parts of that, in a message today. So go to Exodus chapter 14. And as you hear this word today, let your mind and your heart just lock on to God's will to take you forward in life. You know, forward is the only direction God is moving. He's not going back. Now, you can go back, but God's not going back. He's going forward. Amen. So Exodus 14, we're going to begin here in verse 13. And I think the story, you know, that Israel had left Egypt. They were on the way to the promised land. And they, after so many years of bondage, they were finally free and on their way to the promised land. But they had a major barrier. They ran up against the Red Sea. And they could not cross it. And so the people began to be concerned about that, obviously. And then they understood that the Egyptians were now having remorse about all that free labor, you know, leaving the country. And so here come the Egyptians chasing down the Israelites to destroy them. And so they had the Red Sea in front, a pursuing army behind, and that's a very difficult spot to be in. So it says in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 13, then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and to stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. Wow. Now, we've read the story. We've seen the movie. So this is not a new thing to us. I mean, it's one thing to see a river and think, we got to cross this river now. You know, that's a challenge by itself. But to see a body of water where there is no other side, all you can see is where you're standing, the land you're standing on, and the water in front of you. None of y'all can swim, right? Israelites like black folk, can't nobody swim. So we're not going to swim over here. Nobody had a boat. There was no bridge, right? So they were truly up against a major barrier. And then against that backdrop of the water, looking behind them, here comes this fierce army. And so, of course, the people were afraid. They were nervous. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid and stand, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's a very bold statement in the midst of that situation. But Moses had learned to trust God. And he said to them that the Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see them again. You'll never see them again. Now, that's a lot to say. How's God going to do this? And so he said, Lord, we'll fight for you. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Then he said this, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, that statement, I've preached this for years. I thought about this for a long time. And it always amazes me that God gave them a command. He said, tell the people to go forward. But they could not literally walk forward because there was water there. So I realized that forward is not a physical direction. It's not like north, east, south, and west. Forward is a mindset. Forward is a vision of what God wants for you. So forward to them was an encouragement to trust God. It was to get their mind off of the physical barriers and put their mind on what God promised them. Because before they reached the Red Sea, before they saw water, they'd been told about a promised land. They were aware that God had promised them something great. And so here was this water in front of them. And God was still saying, go forward. Now that speaks to us today. Now I don't know how you feel about these things, but I'm gonna guess that you have probably at some point in your life didn't know where you were going to go, what you were going to do. And you know, it may not be a question of if you ever felt that way, but a question of when was the last time you felt that way, you know. We come to those points in life where I can't see a way forward here. I just can't see it with my natural eye. But then God is still saying, go forward. He's still saying it. Therefore, again, it cannot be a physical direction. It has to be something on the inside of you that God's trying to change and trying to get you to see and have a vision that's more than what your physical eyes can see. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that is easy to say, and it's hard to do without God. Amen? Yeah. And so that this feeling of being stuck is not uncommon. We have that feeling from time to time. We all face that from time to time. So Israel certainly felt stuck. And they were literally stuck between a body of water and a charging army bearing down upon them. And you can be sure that they weren't coming to help them. You know, sometimes someone is coming towards you, but they're coming to help you. But not this day. They were coming to destroy Israel. So then, you've seen the movie, you read the scripture, the story you know. But what is forward? The word forward literally means this, dictionary definition. To cause to proceed or progress toward a goal. To cause to go or be taken from one place, person, or condition to another. So right there in the first definition, that definition doesn't deal with a physical direction. Forward here means to cause to proceed or progress toward a goal. So your goal isn't north, east, south, or west. So see, going forward then has more to do with how are you thinking, what you believe. Forward has more to do with how you think than what you actually would do next. Where do I go down this road, that road? Do I make this call? No, it begins with how you think, what you believe. So forward is the place to which God leads his people of purpose and destiny. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. God's not telling folk in the world to go forward. He's telling his people who know him, to go forward. Because, you know, out in the world without Christ, folk do what they want to do. That's it. How they feel, what the passion said, what the friends are saying, where the crowd is going. But when you serve God, he's telling you, go forward, because you are a person of purpose and a person of destiny. I'm a person of purpose and destiny. So, all right. Forward is a place that stretches your faith and exercises your prayer life. Forward is the place and the direction that vision takes you. That's why we say there's a place called forward. There's a place called forward. And that place is not a country or a city or a job. It's a place of purpose that will lead you to maybe a job or a city. But you first have to be clear that you know what God wants you to do. And that because you know, or you'll learn, you won't be stuck. You won't be indecisive. You'll know what to do once you hear from the Lord. So here's the good news. The good news is God is never stuck. You might be stuck. God's not stuck. He never has to wonder what he'll do next. And so then if God knows what he's doing, where he's going, then let's connect with God. He's going somewhere. He's doing something. He knows his purpose. He has a vision for us. Let's connect with him so we won't feel stuck either. See, something, the Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 48:10 says that. No, Isaiah 46:10. God knows the end from the beginning. Think about that. We have no idea what that feels like or what it's like, because we just know what we see. We know what the past has been. We can hear people talk about tomorrow. You can guess and hit it every now and then. The point is, though, we don't have the capacity to know the future. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knew it before anything ever started, before there was a world, a universe, before there was even people on the earth. I mean, God knew the end from the beginning. Now, he doesn't tell you a lot about that because we'd mess it up. If God told us the end from the beginning, most of us go play some bets. He'd be playing some bets. I'm on my football team, you know. People would abuse that power if they had it. We would mess ourselves up and have no confidence in God whatsoever. So obviously, you know, that's not our ability. But God has that ability. And because he has that ability, if we walk with God, he'll make sure to navigate us from today into the future. If you listen to him, he will lead you along the paths he wants you to walk on to arrive at your expected outcome. If God's given you a purpose and a destiny, He is shepherding you. He is guiding you along the way if you pay attention to him, if you listen to him. He just doesn't give you the power to know it. He says, I know it. Trust me. Trust me. You know, you take these tours. We've done tours and bus tours and things. And, you know, you trust the tour guide. You get on the bus. And they take you places and explain things to you. And that you have to trust them, that they'll take you to the right place, explain it to you accurately, because that's their job. It's their job. And so how much more should we trust God to lead us, to guide us, to tour, help us to tour this life successfully? So this is what God is doing with Israel. He knows the end. He knows their end. God already saw the sea split. He saw them walking through. He knew all that. But God wants to know, who's going to pay attention to me? I want to know right now, he's saying. Because some people act like, well, here's the point I make to you. Sometimes we act like, look at this, our tendency is to think that we're a God unto ourselves. Let me explain it to you. We sometimes act like that we are somehow a God, small g God, unto ourselves. We think we can figure everything out. And we act like we know so much. You know, there's so much arrogance today in this world. People say things, do things. They don't have any clue what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. We don't give ourselves to God. We don't submit to God. We don't say, Lord, I don't know. Help me, Jesus. We just think we know so much without even studying, reading, listening, learning. We just assume we know so much. Now, I'll prove this to you, this point to you. Have you ever thought you understood something about the Bible without reading the Bible? Yes, we have. People say, oh, yeah, this is what God said. The Bible says. Have you read the Bible? I mean, really read the Bible? I mean, every day, every other day? Because you can't know what the Bible says if you don't read it.
That's right.
So, but people are always saying they know who Jesus is. That Bible's full of errors. Oh, boy, you know. Or another one. For example, have you ever thought you knew what someone would do without knowing the person? Yes, we have. You don't know that person. You think you know them. See, so we have this tendency of becoming a God unto ourselves. We think we know things we do not know. We try to empower ourselves without seeking the Lord, without really learning about a subject. We try to be experts on finance. Listen, if somebody wants to be your financial advisor, ask them, are you rich? Are you wealthy? Show me your investments. Because if they broke like you or like me, they can't help you. Obviously, right? If you don't know, don't do what? If you don't know, don't help me. Right? My point is, this is a condition we find ourselves in when we do not trust the Lord. Now, it's easy to fix all that. Just say, Lord, I don't know. God, help me. Say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, I don't know. Help me. That's all we got to do. Leave all the rest of that behind. Because we're not a God unto ourselves. Left to ourselves, we bring ourselves to ruin. The Bible says it, right? You got the point. Now, next scripture. Look with me, please, at Exodus 13. This will encourage you. Exodus 13. So it says here, this is along that way to the promised land. This is, in fact, this happened before they got to the Red Sea. But it said this, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. See, listen, y'all, even as you're on the way to your promised land that you've never seen before, even before the Red Sea shows up, even before the Egyptians began to chase you, listen, y'all, ahead of and behind you is God protecting you. Now, this example, he gave them an actual physical example. The Bible says it was a pillar of a cloud. Now, clouds normally, you know, just kind of float in the sky horizontal. This was a pillar, a cloudy pillar that was protecting them from the back, or leading them, actually, along their way. But then at night, it was a pillar of fire. Now, what gets me is that you can't see the cloud at night. So God transformed the cloud into fire. That must have been nice, y'all, at night, and the sun went down. Hey, y'all, look here. Here we go again. And watch that pillar cloud become a pillar of fire. And then in the morning, it changed back from fire to cloud. That's awesome, y'all. That's truly awesome. Now, the point is, it's an awesome sight. But the truth is, for us, whether you see it or not, God is leading you. God is guiding you. He's protecting you. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, listen, here's the point here. What you should do is this. We don't look for signs today. Yeah. God gave signs to people before they had the Holy Ghost, before they had Jesus in the Bible. Yeah. Today, you don't need signs. Say, I don't need a sign. Don't need an omen. What you need to have is faith in God. Amen. I mean, for example, now, Mr. Bertha, you know, we know her, love her. Now, if Mr. Bertha said that she's going to call you tomorrow, she'll call you tomorrow. Yeah. Now, or here it is. No, she said, I'll call you Wednesday. Well, then don't look for a sign on Monday. Where's the sign of the phone call? I need a sign on Tuesday. I need a sign on, no, just wait and trust and believe what was said, okay? Because people of integrity do what they say. Now, Israel didn't know God like that. They were too rebellious, too foolish. They had to have pillars of clouds and pillars of fire. See that? Look, see that? And after all that, they still had a problem trusting God. Now, but there is, I believe, for us today, there is in your circumstances, there are pillars of fire, pillars of clouds. You don't necessarily see signs, but you have indications that God's helping you. Amen? I mean, first of all, you simply believe it. But as you go along in life, it actually unfolds. For example, we had a prayer yesterday, a prayer before the outreach yesterday. It always reminded us that we had prayed for good weather. We had 45 degrees yesterday and some hazy sun. Don't get no better than that in December, okay? Now, listen, y'all, a week ago, it was snow forecast. That snow's coming today. I don't care about today, amen? It can snow today. But it was forecast to come yesterday. So we prayed. A lot of people pray. My point is, I look for God for indications. And so the fact that there was no snow, thank God. If it snowed yesterday, we'd have survived that too. But this pillar of fire and cloud for Israel, to us, is a reminder that God is in front of you, God's behind you. He is taking you along the purpose that he has called you to. And circumstances do not deter God. What deters you, what makes you nervous, does not deter God, does not make him nervous. Nothing disturbs God, because God knows the end from the beginning. Luke 17. Look at this. Jesus said this in verse 32. He says, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. Now, Jesus brought that up. Who was Lot's wife? Well, you know who Lot was. Lot was one of those among the family of Abraham who were in a place called Sodom that God was going to destroy. And so he sent an angel, say, hey, yo, y'all get out of here, okay? I'm going to destroy this place. Need to leave. And he helped them get out of there. So it was Lot, his wife, and their children, and some others. And angel took him by the hand, even. When they were moving kind of slow, just kind of snatched him. Let's go. And as they went, the Bible says that Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, what it was, I believe, is whatever zone of destruction that was, because God destroyed the whole place, that they were far enough away to be free from that. Well, it wasn't that Lot's wife just turned and looked back with her eyes. The Bible says she looked back behind her. The Hebrew says she went back. Basically, she turned and went back. Look back means she went back. So while Lot was running, everybody's on the move. Maybe Lot's gonna check for his wife. Sometimes you're running for your life. You got time to check who's running with you. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I don't know how that all worked out. But she definitely turned and looked back and went back, and she did not get outside the zone of destruction. I mean, she was literally judged. However God judged it, she was caught up in it. Okay? So but Christ said, remember Lot's wife. Why? Don't look back. Don't go back. Don't go back. That's the point. He says, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Now, obviously, she looked back for a reason. She was leaving somebody or something behind in Sodom. She was missing something. Or somebody. Because otherwise, why would you look back and go back? Have that kind of regret. So Jesus said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you will preserve it. Lose me, lose it in service to God. Lose it in dedication to God. Lose your life in trusting God. Give your life to God. Give your life to God. That's what he means by losing your life. So forward is the place that God's taking you. And so that we don't want to, you know, be like Lot's wife and then, you know, disobey an instruction and go back. Because God, the only direction God is moving is which way?
Forward.
Forward. Let me give you some key words based on the word forward. First of all, letter F, follow instructions. Say, Lord, help me. Follow instructions. That is, I cannot emphasize it enough. Just follow instruction. Do what God says. Face your God-given responsibility. Stop complaining and do something. Carry your own weight. Be an effective part of God's church, of your community. O stands for open your heart to God. Say, Lord, open my heart to you. Turn to him and don't be afraid. As again, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. R stands for remember your covenant. Say, Lord, help me not to forget my covenant. Remember your covenant with your family, your church family, with your community. I mean, with your boss, I mean, co-workers. A covenant isn't, it's mainly a Christian biblical thing, but covenant, the spirit of it is in marriage. It's an agreement you make. Amen, somebody. I mean, a sense of covenant is really essential for this whole world to function in a sensible way. If folk, listen, y'all, this whole country, our whole country is based on people operating in honesty. I mean, you know, most Americans just pay the taxes voluntarily, fill the form out, send it in. None of there's consequence not doing stuff. Most of us, we don't cheat. We don't try to cheat. It's possible to cheat. It's possible to lie. Most folk just don't do it. Now, some do. A lot do it. Some get away with it. Some don't. The point is, what if everybody decided not to pay taxes or lie about their income or whatever it might be? It'd be a messed up world. And sadly, our nation is seeing that. We're seeing people lying at the very top. Remember your covenant. I say covenants, plural. W stands for walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, say, Father, help me. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your carnal mind. Don't listen, y'all. If you don't feel good about something, don't ask yourself how you feel. Ask yourself, what do I believe? What do I, because if you go by how you feel, you're going to have a lot of trouble in your life. Man, listen, boy, feelings go all way over here and way over there. I mean, there are some folk who are so touchy-feely, you know, you can't talk to them all day. Don't say nothing. You know, man, they're so far in their feelings, you can barely say good morning. I don't know about that. There's just so much going on today. Ah, well, hey, look. Hi. I'm low. Well, whatever. I mean, some folks so far in their feelings, you got to leave them alone for a little bit. You can watch them and see if they, okay, I can talk now. You know what I'm saying? But folk like that need to walk by faith. Because our feelings, our carnal mind, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. It brings us down. But life and peace does what? Bring us up. A stands for act on the word. Say, Lord, help me to act on the word. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, Mrs. Lot deceived herself. Because God said, go forward. That was what's the word for you? Go forward. Leave this place. Leave this place and don't look back. That's the word for you. But then she decided or felt like I got to go back. I'm missing something, whatever. And that got her in trouble, got her judged. Act on the word. Be faithful, be supportive, be obedient. It isn't difficult, people of God, to follow God if we choose to. Now, there are consequences. Sometimes we don't get what we want in our own selves by following God, but I'd rather do God's will than my will every day. I mean, I found out that's better. I mean, I've learned the hard way. All of us have, right? To disobey God the price is too high. It's just, it costs too much. It's just too costly. You know, some things you do in life, we do make purchases, we buy the wrong thing, and we have a feeling about that, bought it anyway, and we stuck with this thing for a minute. It's just, wow, this is bad. Come on, somebody. This is bad, you know. So let's just be obedient and act on the word, be doers of the word. R stands for roll with the punches. Yeah. And then punch back. Now, I don't mean with people. In circumstances. Now, all of us get buffeted by life. We all get hit by circumstances, all kind of stuff coming at us, and we do get punched. And we roll with those punches, you know. But then you got to punch back. That is, there has to be a response, some kind of response to many things in life. Now, yeah, some people you should ignore. Some people you can't ignore. I mean, some things in life come up and punch us, and sometimes it's indicator that we're out of order in some way. You know, sometimes we're experiencing trouble because we've let things get out of balance. So sometimes that little punch upside your head is like a wake-up call, right? So it isn't always bad, okay? And punching back isn't just resisting it. Punching back is just making things right. Yeah. Amen, somebody? I mean, financial, personal stuff, health stuff, whatever, how we think, we roll with these punches, these bad thoughts and all that. Well, stop watching crazy movies then. You know, sometimes I have a nightmare tonight. What you watching during the day? Because your dreams are a replay of how you live your life. But your sleep should be sweet. I mean, the one place in life you ought to have some peace and quiet is when you sleep. I mean, you deal with people, you deal with family, you deal with finances. I mean, the one safe place ought to be to get in that bed, pull that cover up, and go to sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours. Man, that's a blessing. It's a blessing, amen? If you don't have that, you're really struggling, right? So we want to let God help us in every area, because a lack of rest, we know there's a lack of rest for us mortal beings is very bad news. Finally, D, dream big and get to work. I didn't say dream big only. Dream big and get to work. Big dreams require major effort. The effort has to be, of course, from the grace, through grace and through wisdom and all that. But you have to work at the things you're dreaming about. Not enough is to say, Lord, you know, I want it, I want that. No, you have to, you know, dream it and then do it. Learn, grow, connect with the right people, disconnect from some people. Some folks are dream killers. Some people will shoot down your dream. You tell them your dream, they'll just say or act like what you just said is ridiculous. But find people who will encourage you. Because all, listen, y'all, all dreams are ridiculous. In the beginning, we start at that level, and then we come to the place where we can make it work, right? You can't start small and end up big. You can start big and end a little bit smaller. You start big, end up more reasonable. You start big, end up where you can actually get it done. You can never start small in your thinking and dreaming and end up in a better place. So find people to help cultivate your dream, your capacity, your abilities, your resources. Because God, most of all, because those dreams you have, God wants to work with those dreams. Amen, somebody. Matter of fact, God may have put that dream in your heart. Listen, you know, sometimes what happens is, it is God who's giving us these ideas, and it sounds like your thought. And it should. He wants you to own it. Because see, if God, here's a problem we have. Folks say, Lord, speak to me. When you speak to me, then I'll move. Now, that sounds real spiritual, except that he doesn't speak to people who are already thinking, already praying, already contemplating. What you want God to speak is to say, go. Based on what he has put in your heart, what you've developed in your heart, he wants to confirm something in you. Folk act like, Lord, give me everything. Give me the keys. Give me the car. Give me the gasoline. Give me a map. Give me a driver. Then I'll go. That's how we act, you know. No, God, no, no, no. We are laborers together with God. Yes. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us today of all these truths. Most of all, that there is a place called forward. And just as you encouraged Israel in the midst of their obstacles, in their place of being stuck, you still said go forward because, Lord, circumstances are no obstacle to you. They are to us, but through you we can overcome obstacles. So if we keep our trust in you, maintain a clear view of you, if we, Lord, just continue to listen to you, Lord, then we will be able, Lord God, not just to only go forward physically, but have in our hearts purpose and vision and good thinking, correct motivations, all that's really needed to keep us moving forward. Lord, thank you for the example of Scripture, for the reminder of Christ who said, don't forget Lot's wife. Remember her behavior. Don't replicate that. Don't make that same mistake. Don't let something in the past draw us back when you've said go forward and move from this place. Lord, thank you that Jesus has made the way. Everything we've said, Jesus has already gave his life, shed his blood, rose from the dead to make possible for us. Give us, Lord God, the grace to follow instructions, open our hearts to you, remember the covenant, walk by faith, not by sight, act on your word, roll with the punches, dream big, and go to work.